It's The Bill Murphy Show. A daily one-on-one 30-minute interview featuring people from all walks of life. Available daily at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
As we get into a new week and a new month on The Bill Murphy Show, it is Monday, August 2nd, 2010, and this is your digital broadcast. Remember, the Music Fridays just keep getting better and better. Remember, we have another musical act for you performing live one way or in one form or another this coming Friday. Guests from all walks of life from all over the world coming to you this week. And we start off this week with Diamond David Lee Roth. Hold on, before you get all crazy and think that we've got, the Van Halen singer on here. We don't, and that's what makes this even more interesting. I had the opportunity to meet Dave. By the way, how you doing, buddy? Are you standing
by? I'm doing fine, man. I'm right waiting for you.
All right, well, here we go. Here's what's happening here, Mr. Diamond Dave. And I'm not really positive how to address you. Is it Diamond? I've heard different ways of doing it. Diamond.
It's Diamond David Lee, because I have a lot of diamonds in my collection, but I don't always necessarily wear it when I go out, but that was my nickname. My birth certificate says David Lee Roth. It's my mother named me, so the only other name I could take is Diamond David Lee.
So your name is David Lee Roth. You're Diamond.
Correct,
you're known as Diamond David Lee. And has that ever presented any sort of a problem with David Lee Roth and his people?
Absolutely. Super Bowl this year in South Florida, as you know it. I did the Crockett Foundation with football players, Zach Crockett of the Raiders and Henry Crockett of the Falcons. And the actual David Lee Roth himself had his attorney call up and say that he's not showing up at the event. And I had explained that it's my real name. That's why I didn't say David Lee Roth. I said Diamond David Lee because I figured that's my nickname. But the lawyers realized it's my legal name, so they dropped it, and the charity was doing good.
Okay. Well, that's there you go. There's no such thing as bad publicity, so if it ever translates to publicity for you, the more the merrier, right?
Listen, I'm not George Bush, so there's going to be no bad publicity. However, I'll tell you this. Mr. Murphy, which I met you, and we had a great time together.
Yeah,
you're
we did.
A very respectable man. You are a gentleman and a scholar. You are very good. I respect you 100%. You have a great show. Daryl's happy with it. I'm happy with it. But I'm going to give you a little publicity here right now.
Okay.
What we're not happy with is iScale, Daryl and I. So whatever you did with the interview is great, but we're kind of like dropping off the deep end with them because of some things that happened over the weekend.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with you. You still did a great interview, and you're very good at what you do, and you always will be. I respect you.
I'm certainly not going to get in the middle of anything political here, and I assume that your whatever it is differences that you're having with iScout has nothing to do with me. So I'm
absolutely not, sir.
I'm just going to leave it alone then. All right, here's what's happening. We're doing something here on several different levels. I was thinking about this. As I interview you and you appear on the Bill Murphy Show, here's what's going on at the same time, simultaneously. I'm getting a chance to introduce you to my listeners, however many there may be and how regular they might be. You're giving me an opportunity to spread my show into your amazingly huge circle of friends.
Absolutely.
And as an added bonus, you're getting to give a more intimate sort of profile of yourself to your fans and friends in this very candid personal interview. So I appreciate all this synergy going on. It's a pretty cool thing.
No, it's going to be great. I mean, you do very good at what you do. I'm very animistic with a lot of people around me because you got to be careful who you choose to talk to.
Yeah.
But as you know me from the short time of who I know, you know Mickey Monday, Cocaine Cowboys is my client. And we got Daryl Gardner. I got Marvin Jones of the Jets.
Okay.
I mean, we don't have to keep going on. I can get Wayne Gretzky if I want, which we're going to have in a couple weeks. But, I mean, I respect your show. You're very good. But I think if we can get into the political part of what's going on in life, I think we'd be really good with you.
Yeah, well, okay. And like Daryl said, I need to be more controversial. That will come with time. But for now, I'm just getting this thing on the road. Now, I'm going to stop you for a second and back up a little bit and tell everybody how we met. And I'm going to be a little bit honest with you. And I'm expecting that this will...
How about you just lie to me?
No.
You were friends with Reagan and all that, and we met there.
No. Actually, I think this brutal honesty here is going to get some of the best stuff out of you. So here's a little background for the listener. We met each other at Daryl's kids'
Kids for Distress.
Right, Kids in Distress, the charity event that he held down. It was like a week long down at the Newport beachside. So anyway, we had a nice little chat poolside. And now, this is where I'm going to get real honest with you. When I first met you, or should I say before I actually met you, I instantly recognized you. I know I had seen you around before. But I think you're going to understand when I say this. At first glance, I thought, what's this guy all about? And now we talked for a long time, and you talked to me about your clients and it's a little bit of detail about what you do. And I got to admit, I'm not 100% sure that I understand what it is that you do and what you're involved with at this moment. What is the primary function of you out there in the working world at the moment?
I am a marketing PR genius.
A marketing PR genius. That's what it says on your business card.
No one better than me.
Okay. Well, then I obviously we did have a talk, and we need to get you more involved with this show. And that's actually one of the steps we're doing. I'm doing one of those steps right now by interviewing you. So elaborate on that. How did that get started? And what's a typical function of you as this?
Well, I'm going to tell you how it got started. And it's very interesting. In 1979, my parents took me to a Broadway play called Cats, which was in New York, a big running show.
Right.
And Jimmy Carter actually was in the audience.
Okay.
And if you've ever been to a Broadway play, you'll realize that they have an intermission.
Yep.
And during the intermission, I asked my father for his pen because I wanted to get Jimmy Carter's autograph when I was a kid. And he's like, if you can make it to the president, you can have my pen. So he gave me the pen, and I went underneath the seats because as a kid, you can crawl underneath everything. It's like when you're at a diner and you have to go to the bathroom and you're on the inside and you're a kid, you go underneath the table.
Okay.
Forget about the chewing gum that's stuck underneath. I don't care about that. But so I was going in and out of all the seats, and suddenly I ended up in front of Jimmy Carter, and Secret Service didn't even see me. And I had this pen held out with a playbill, you know, the playbill from the sign, and Jimmy looked at me and looked at Secret Service, and they looked at me, their eyes shrugged, and I didn't understand because I was a kid. And he signed my playbill. And when I got back to my father, he was laughing, saying, "You just breached security." And I didn't know what that meant as a kid. But he said, if you can get to the President of the United States, you can get to anyone. And from that point on, anyone I chose to meet, I meet.
Excellent.
I met everyone. I can meet any player, any celebrity. I'll get to them.
And then, okay, so you took this bravery to the next level and got yourself into a little sort of a niche and found a way for you to do your PR work.
Absolutely. And my father dealt with musicians all his life in his electronics business in New York. So I met Earth, Wind & Fire, Sly and the Family Stone. I saw them in concert in 1974 in Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Okay.
Which is pretty interesting. For years, I thought it was Jimi Hendrix. But it wasn't, obviously, because he died in 68. But
right.
It was pretty funny. It was Sly from Sly and the Family Stone. He wore the same bandana.
Yeah, I see the similarity. I know what you mean. That's awesome.
I'm like, this is great. Hot fun in the summertime. They're like, Purple Haze? I go, no. No, he would play that in my concert, I saw. But it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, so what is it? Where has this led you to today? You talk about the various clients you have. What is it, the kind of function that you provide, a service
like
that you provide?
I like to provide an event of no other. In other words, with the exception of the event you were at when we did that with Daryl, I like to do private homes, big mansions, pools, yachts. I like the diversive clientele, or in other words, like the quiet clientele where they don't want to be bothered, where they'll have 200 people there, but they're movers and shakers, and I like the movers and shakers. I don't like dealing with the BS of South Beach, because as you know, South Florida, we have a shape like, if you look at the map, which I think I told you this, it's a shape like a phalanx symbol.
Okay. Okay.
But in general, I love what I do, and I love meeting people. I'm a great networker. I'm very personable. But I call people out, and I throw them under the bus if they're full of crap.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do with you here, brother. I'm trying to call you out and try to get the straight scoop on what you're doing. Now, you've gone from a little bit of your where does the event planning and the marketing sort of come together? Because to me, on the surface, it sounds like two different things. Explain how the two are cohesive with you.
Well, you think about marketing and PR, they're two separate things. PR is if Dennis Rodman gets in trouble, I have to step up to the plate and kind of lower his problems.
Okay.
Marketing would be if he wants to do an event, and I want to bring him out there and display him.
Okay, I guess what I meant was how does the marketing and the event, and so the two actually really go hand in hand.
Correct.
You will put up, so if you wanted to promote me and my show, first thing that you would do is put on an event.
Actually, the first thing I do is throw you out into the event, not put on the event. I want Bill Murphy to know who he is. I want people to know who Bill Murphy is.
Right.
So, you know, if you don't believe in yourself, then I have two problems I got to work with, throwing you out there and you believe in yourself.
Right. So. I don't think you have any disagreement with me that I believe in this show and that that's how I was.
No, I love your show. It's great.
Yeah. And this is something that's just getting off the ground. And I thought that you were pretty intrigued by the whole thing. Otherwise, I don't think you would have spent as much time talking to me as you did. So for someone like me who's entrepreneurial and I haven't always been like this, to be honest, and getting going with something under my belt, they go to someone like you and they would put on an event that is sort of centered around that person. And what I've noticed is that you surround yourself with a lot of people that make the event a little extra glitzy. You know, it almost goes in the direction of Hollywood or, you know, a big New York City movie premiere or something like that. So you've incorporated some of the same things that happen in these multi-million dollar events, even for something just very local for a charity.
Correct.
One word answer? That's what I'm getting from you?
Yeah, you're going to get correct because I can't, you know, elaborate on what you're saying, but I can tell you this. When you do an event and you want Mickey Monday, Cocaine Cowboys showing up, you want, well, Val Gardner, you know he's going to show up, Zach Crockett, Henry Crockett, O.J. Santiago, Lawrence Taylor, who's up in New York right now, he's still in trouble, Plaxico Burress, Super Bowl MVP, when he gets out of jail, those are my people, unfortunately, but fortunately.
Right.
Because I can't control what they do when they get in trouble. At the same time, elaborating, if you want music, I get the obscure, David Ruffin Jr. His father died of an overdose in 1991. He was a lead singer of the Temptations. David Ruffin Jr. lives in Las Vegas now, from Northridge, California. He's under Berry Gordy from Motown. So those are the people I get you. I get you the people that you don't see every day that you know.
Right.
I'm not going to get you Arnold Coleman right now because he's indisposed, as you know, from what happened to him. But 4 months ago, yes, I would have brought him to your show.
So, and basically, as you build this stable of clients, people that you work with, they sort of seem to end up inevitably helping each other out, showing up at each other's events, helping out each other with each other's causes, getting involved in each other's businesses. There's a lot of that going on as well. Please elaborate on that.
It's like a brotherhood.
Right.
It's almost like a brotherhood. It's not the Skull and Bones. It's not the Illuminati. It's like a fraternal order where, like, everybody knows everybody, and you keep it systematically correct.
Right.
And it's like having a stable of horses. You got to still control the stable. You can't let anyone loose because that one loose person can cause a lot of problems.
Right.
So, and I'm not about that. I try to give the respect to everyone and keep everyone under control. Yes, occasionally one of them is going to go wild, go on a drinking rampage or do whatever they want, and it's still going to come back to me. So I have to definitely give them the attention that I'm paid to, you know, to give them the attention for.
Right.
And I can't have any problems with that. And, you know, unfortunately, there's always problems with every category of person you meet. They always have a dark side, and they have a great side. So it's almost like good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. When you get a blood test, your good cholesterol is off the charts, but your bad cholesterol is even worse.
Right.
So, you know, you can't indifference what you know and how you treat them, and you have to, you know, just give the respect to them back. At the same time, you got to let them know who's boss and who controls everything.
Now, from my observations of just meeting you for a couple of days and hanging out with you, I did notice that in the midst of a lot of stuff going on with a lot of people, a lot of questions being asked, a lot of complications arising, you seem to keep a cool head, which is an indication to me that you've been doing what you're doing for a long, long time, because I just don't think that kind of cool composure, you know, it happens quickly. I mean, that has to have been from years and years of doing it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'll give an example. Dennis Rodman, and I could say this on your show because he will document it and say this is accurate. I lived with Dennis at the Mirage in Vegas in 1993. And a perfect example, when I want to go to sleep, I go to sleep. So if you're a roommate and you want to do your own thing, you can do it. But he would bang on the door and wake me up from a deep sleep. I didn't know it was him, and I'd open up the door, and I would go, "What?" And he'd look at me and go, "Just checking," and then drop his room key and walk away. So that's an example of stress because, like I said, I was sleeping. Why are you waking me up just to say, making sure you're here and throwing your key at me? So, in other words, there's little BS stuff that people do, and there's big stuff they do.
Right, right. Now, since you have been doing this for such a long time, and I guess it probably goes far back before 1993 as well, it's a perfect kind of question to ask you. We are talking on an interview show that I've done myself and have posted on my own web space. We are texting back and forth with each other. You've got several thousand Facebook friends and followers, as do I. You can spread something around. We're going to get into your one-liners, too. You can spread something around at the speed of light these days. The new media, the new technology, everything that's coming out, how has that changed your business? And I'm sure it's mostly for the better.
It actually hasn't changed my business in a theory because I'm a people person, so I can always, you know, spread the sunshine on people. All Facebook did was to give me information where I can spread it out to people that follow me.
Right.
But at the same time, I go back to the days when the Commodore VIC-20 was out back in the early 80s, and we had the modem that you hook up to your telephone.
Okay.
And we had bulletin boards, so it didn't change anything for me in theory.
Really?
But, yeah, it did nothing for me because, you know, when you write humor, for instance, the general public's going to hear it when they perform in their Tonight shows and stuff.
Okay, you skipped right over that part. We jumped into that without getting out of this one thing. We want to get into the fact that you did write for Jay Leno years ago.
Yes, I did. And I actually worked for Helen Kushnick, who was the manager for general management.
Okay.
Out of California. Big Dog Productions, which was Jay Leno's company. If you saw that movie they made with Dave, well, it wasn't Dave Letterman, an actor played him up, obviously, but it was when Jay Leno was making that transition where he was offered Letterman's slot.
Right.
It was 100,000 years ago, and they talked about Helen and the loyalty, and then she died, and then Jay ends up in California, and Letterman's still in New York, and Letterman's a great guy.
So you're talking about the character that was played by Kathy Bates, correct?
Yes, Kathy. I think that was Kathy Bates that played Helen Kushnick.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, wow, that's very cool stuff. And so you wrote some of the monologue jokes, and you can still continue to do that to this day independently. Now, you've got to admit, Facebook's a nice thing to have in your pocket when you're coming out with a daily topical one-liner.
Absolutely. The one thing that confuses me is Twitter, because if you tweet, you're a tweet, and I don't deal with tweets.
It's not fun dealing with twits either. Twits could be kind of difficult to deal with, too.
Right.
So, give us you come up with almost daily topical one-liners. Have you noticed any of them being stolen or stuff you've come up with?
The problem is that I submit them every day. A lot of people don't know that. So when they pick it up, I get a check. It's just that I'm on a quiet contract where I can't say it's mine. But what annoys me is people will send me a message saying you stole this from Leno, and I can't say no, I didn't, because it's my joke. But yeah, that's cool. It gives me more respect. At least another comment to my page.
So so let me get this straight. You're still providing some lines for Jay Leno?
Yes, I am. Absolutely.
Oh, to this day. So
yes.
You had sort of I wasn't expecting to make this tangent in this show, but you were kind of around when that whole thing happened, when he did the 10 o'clock slot and then went back and that whole thing.
Oh, with Conan O'Brien?
Yeah.
Yeah, the only Conan I like was Arnold Schwarzenegger back in 1983.
So you're not a Conan O'Brien fan?
No, he's a good guy. I remember when he was on MTV in 1993. He actually introduced, what's that actor's name? From a comedy channel. I can't even think. The news. He was on there with Steve Carroll.
Oh, the Jon Stewart show?
Yeah, Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart's the one that introduced, he introduced Conan. Conan introduced him, if I remember correctly, in New York at the Viacom building.
Okay.
But it was pretty comical because, you know, you look back at the videos, you know, wearing the Cabarici jeans and the fluff hairdo and all that. It's kind of comical.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I go back to the days when George Bush was running for president with Michael Dukakis. He was going against Michael Dukakis.
Right.
Before the first, war in Iraq. And it's pretty comical because when Bush Sr. was running against Dukakis, I used to say, it's amazing. I walked my dog the other day. He was doing Dukakis in the Bush.
Ah.
So it was pretty, you know, you have to be like that kind of quickness.
Very nice.
You miss sugar, no, you.
It is a timeless political joke there, sir. Very, very nice. So yeah. What kind of activities and events have you got coming up in the future that people can see what you're doing in action?
I just did the 114th birthday party of Miami. We had John Cicada there, Dal Gardner, Christopher Duer of the New York Jets, and Tim Hardaway of the Heat.
Wow.
And, you know, he's not with the Heat anymore, so I told him, if you can't stand the Heat, get the hell out of the arena.
There you go. There you go.
Yes.
Very nice. Okay. Not bad. I'll give you about a 7 on that one.
7? You should see my 10.
Throw a few at me. I heard a great one you said the other day about Lindsay Lohan. Obviously, Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to do Lindsay Lohan things. I mean, you don't even get me started with Lindsay Lohan. She's getting out of jail this week, so I guess the containment cap didn't control her from the BP oil spill. You know, so it's like a whole thing. But it's in general, yeah. Have you been following the BP oil spill?
You know what? I don't think anybody is anymore.
I'm following it because in Arizona, they got the immigration law. I'm like, what immigration law? They don't need a raft anymore. They can walk over.
Uh-huh.
You got enough oil in the Gulf, they just walk over.
Eventually, maybe so. Does it seem to me like the whole oil spill disaster has really, really fallen out of the news lately for unexplainable reasons?
Well, interesting enough you say that because Barack met with the president, or whatever you call him, the king of England, whatever you want to, Tony Blair.
Right.
And they exchanged paintings the last 2 weeks. And I'm amazed because Barack gave him an oil painting. I'm like, why are you giving him an oil painting? He already has an oil painting. It's called the Gulf.
Okay, again, mediocre. It's all right. If I can't be a harsh critic on these, who's going to be, you know?
No, I agree with you. You're catching me off guard.
No, that's true. I am putting you on the spot and making you come up with this stuff instantly. So what is coming up? You just did the 114th birthday party for
party
Miami
at the arena.
And you got another thing going on at the Newport this week?
Actually, I do, but I don't. In other words, it's kind of like
low key
on the border there. But my next big event's going to be on Hibiscus Island in 2 weeks. And I have an Ocean Drive magazine event coming up, which I'm keeping on the hush-hush until
right.
I get all the details. But, of course, you're going to be there.
Oh, I am now, I suppose. I let me write that down on my calendar. I'll make sure I am.
You don't have to write in your calendar. Just text your calendar.
You know what's great about it is that these events are just becomes like a waiting pool for me to just run around and grab people as guests for the show. And it's amazing to me how... You know, and I guess I could give you credit for this. It's amazing how open to it everybody is when they meet me through you at one of your big events because they know, you know, Diamond David Lee only invites the best people to his parties.
You know what I'm saying, though? I mean, this is common sense. Diamond David Lee. You know how many people introduce me as David Diamond? I'm like, how do you mess that up?
Oh, yeah, right.
I've been a disposable writer.
I practiced it for about an hour this afternoon to make sure I said
I
it correctly.
Diamond's a nickname. David is a real name. I'm the one that killed Goliath. Well, I didn't actually kill him. Tell you the truth, when you use a rock, I shot him with a .357.
Hey, I just got to ask you straight out here. I don't even know, till up to this minute, how am I going to bill you on the show? What is your name going to be on the show? Because
Diamond David Lee, I will be there every week to support you with different celebrities. Support it, because that's what I'm about.
Excellent.
I'm like a jockstrap in Little League. That doesn't sound good, but I came up with it.
Usually we do it the other way around. We go with background first, but let's go and take the last few minutes of this interview and tell me about how you, what your upbringing, your upbringing was like. Where'd you grow up? I'm guessing up in New York area somewhere.
I was born in Bensonhurst, New York, but I grew up in New Jersey.
Okay.
Which is pretty funny because BP actually made fun of New Jersey because of the Jersey Shore, that show.
Yeah.
Because, you know, New Jersey, Newark, and that show, they both smell the same. But in general, I actually, and it's amazing, they talked about it the other day. They're talking about that Italian Americans are pissed off at the Jersey Shore, the show.
Yeah.
Because they said that they're pissing off a lot of Italian Americans. And I'm like, pissing off Italian Americans? You're pissing everyone off.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, we don't want, and the governor said he doesn't want to depict anything about crime. I'm like, you want to show the Sopranos.
Exactly. How hypocritical to say that. I mean, I have to admit, I haven't seen 1 minute of the Jersey Shore show yet, but I know that
neither has Barack, neither will I.
Really, but it really has become something huge just because even if you're on the outskirts like me and you, we still seem to hear about it a lot, so that seems to be saturating, you know?
Yeah, it's very saturating. I will never watch the episode. I'll go to the Jersey Shore, though. Point Pleasant, Seaside Heights, that's cool. But these actors and actresses on that show, I would rather just jump in front of a bus moving at 10 miles per hour on acid.
So where did you go to school, or did you just skip that after you met President Carter and just went right into marketing?
Marlboro High School, which is Freehold Regional.
Right.
I went to the University of Texas for 6 months, and I ended up graduating from the LA Recording Workshop in Studio City, California.
That had to be
in 1989.
That had to be great.
Oh, it was great because I recorded with Billy Idol and did the Rock the Cradle Love, Jeff Lynne of ELO, Alan Parsons of the Alan Parsons Project,
right?
John Entwistle, The Who, who unfortunately passed on.
Yeah.
But it was just like, it was great. And what's funny is people still go out to me going, can you come to the studio and help me produce? I'm like, when I went, I had a quarter inch reel to splice. You got a freaking Pro Tools.
Right, right.
I didn't have that back then.
Yeah, and if you weren't into Pro Tools from day one, there's a big learning curve. So I mean,
it's a learning curve. It's like a knuckleball.
You're not kidding. Hey, you know, Dave, with hanging out with all these high profile celebrities and doing all these glitzy events and stuff, I would think you would have a better sounding phone. Is that an iPhone you're using?
I'm actually using the new. I got to look at it. It's an LG by Sprint, which I got 2 days ago.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the street talking to her now. I just step outside because I have a party going on inside. I'm in Bell Harbor right now.
Oh, it actually sounds a little better now that you're out here. Okay, let's start the whole interview over now that your phone sounds better. But
fine, hit reset. You know, I told you, you saw what I put on there about the iPhone. They're giving away free cases and all that. That's to prevent people from throwing the phones against the wall.
I loved that one. That was a very good one, too. I'm confusing. I don't know if it was you that I heard this line, but if it wasn't you, then I apologize to whoever it is I'm not giving credit to, and then you can grade it. So are you familiar with the Tiger Woods PGA Golf PlayStation game?
I saw it on South Park.
Right.
But I'm not familiar with it.
Well, anyway, this year it's been a franchise for years, and it's called Tiger Woods PGA Golf 11 for 2011. I heard next year's is going to be called Elin Nordegan's PGA Golf 12. All right, you liked it. You giggled there.
I liked it. I don't know if you know this, but when Tiger hit the tree, 10 other girls fell out.
All right, that's a good one, man. I think we're gonna end on that zinger, or have you got a couple more for us?
I always have some, but I would end on that. It's late. I was on the boat all day. We were in, sandbar and Hullover Beach, whatever. You know Hullover Beach, right?
Yeah.
That's where they have like the nudist beach.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard this last week. There was an incident. Somebody saw this naked guy sleeping on his stomach. They thought he was a bike rack. Another guy got injured. He slept on his back. They started to play horseshoes. So, you know, there's always an incident going on.
Very nice. I didn't know that much stuff was going on down in Hullover Beach.
There's a lot going on down here. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Diamond David Lee, what's the event I'm going to be at again? Remind me, that's coming up in a few weeks.
Hibiscus Island in 2 weeks, and you will be at the Ocean.
What is it? What will this be revolving around, Hibiscus Island event?
Are you killing someone? No, I'm kidding with you. It's going to be an event there at this private location on Hibiscus Island for a charity event.
Okay.
I can't really talk about it till I confirm everyone coming there, because I want to make sure everyone is...
I just wanted to see what I could plug for you. What have you got that the public would be interested in going to?
You can actually plug my DVD player in. I just bought another one today.
Okay.
You can come over and you plug that in, plug it into the wall. And
Come on, smartass. All right. No.
Can't curse on the radio, because I've been holding back.
No event. Oh, you can curse on this show, and I'm good thing I didn't tell you at the beginning of the show, because it would have been it would have had the explicit tag on it. So.
Right, Jesus.
No,
I shouldn't even say Jesus. I don't need him right now.
Jesus is that's minor. Okay, so one last chance to invite the general public out to one of your events if you've got one to promote.
I am going to promote one for you. We're going to do next Saturday night.
Okay,
August 7th, if I'm not mistaken.
That's true.
Tiffany Ballroom at the Newport Beach Hotel. It's all a reunion of all the counties in New Jersey. 500 people minimum. Darryl Gardner will be there.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
All the counties of New Jersey?
Yeah. Morris County, Essex County, Monmouth County.
Orange County.
Hudson County. I got everything going on there. Next Saturday, starting at 6 o'clock, Tiffany Ballroom. If you're from New Jersey, New York, show up there. Show your attitude. Come with it. Bring it and sing it.
If I wasn't going to my 30th high school reunion that night, I would join you, man. But I am.
Wow.
So I know.
If you're Roman Polanski, your 30s would make the girl you were with at 6.
Okay, there you go. We're closing now. Here comes the show close music. Diamond David Lee, thanks for making an appearance on my show, brother.
Take care.
See you soon. That's Diamond David Lee. We got links for you to get in touch with him and find him on Facebook and Otherwise, tune in again tomorrow for another 30-minute interview with somebody else. Just as interesting, right here.
Log on each weekday for another edition of the Bill Murphy Show at BillMurphyShow.com. If you'd like to be a guest, send an email to Murph@BillMurphyShow.com. That's MURPH@BillMurphyShow.com. A Murphonics Media Production.